hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Panic Podcast for Monday. My name is Mike, and as I always say, 5 days a week, I'm your online Bible study buddy. This is the Panic Podcast, and today we're going to talk about racism and the Christian on the podcast today. Get your Bibles open up to Luke chapter 10. We'll get started in just a second. Well, I'm glad this weekend is over. It was a busy, busy weekend, and I say all that to say that we didn't have a podcast on Friday, and I'm really sorry about that, because I was looking forward to our study on Friday on biblical doctrines, but we had a wedding on Saturday, and I'm not kidding you, when I got into the church early Friday morning, there were already people here, so there was no privacy whatsoever. And, you know, if I can't do something right, I'm not going to do it at all. So that was why there was no podcast on Friday. Nothing bad happened. Just literally the church was swarming with people, doing flower arrangements and, all kinds of things inside and outside. But the wedding was really, really nice. It was a beautiful, beautiful wedding, gorgeous day. And our happy couple, let's see, today is Monday, so they are on their way to St. Augustine. They left yesterday morning, head down to Charleston, and halfway point, and then they were going to finish the trip today. So they'll be enjoying the beautiful weather down there in St. Augustine. And but I hope you guys had a good weekend. It was a good weekend here. Weather's beautiful. We're back up into summer-like temperatures. I'm hoping that this is it now for the really cold weather here in Southwest Virginia. Although we normally have, we normally have a cool week in May. It feels like summer is started, and then in May you always have a big cool down where it's cool and drizzly and feels like October or November. And then boom, it's blazing hot for the next 3 months or more. And I'll never forget one year when my niece Whitney graduated from UVA Wise. That was like May the 11th or something. And it was sleet. It was so cold. It was snow and sleet, and they had the graduation outside that year. And I'll never forget sitting under that big tent. The wind was blowing. It was so cold. And you had all these, people dressed to the nines, women with sleeveless dresses on and all. And they were just, it was cold, and they were sinking into the grass with their high heels on. And it was just awful. But that's spring is just terrible, as I always say, in the Mid-Atlantic region. But it's going to be nice this week, so I'm looking forward to that. Well, if you have your Bibles open, let's read the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, I bet you're all familiar with that story, and we're going to use it as a jumping off point to talk about the Christian response to racism or the race crisis. And as part of our series on Mondays for the next couple of weeks, being a Christian in 2024. So in 2024, with all the division in this country, how does the Christian deal with this sort of thing? So let's read beginning at verse 25 in Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And that's a direct quote from Deuteronomy 6:5. "And love your neighbor as yourself." And there's a quote from Leviticus 19:18. So this teacher of the law obviously knew his scriptures. Jesus replied, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Now, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Well, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Racism. Boy, the word sounds bad and it looks bad too. Most of us know that racism is wrong, but we can't really define it accurately. So I'll give it a shot. Prejudice, discrimination, mixed with antagonism directed against someone of a different race, based on the belief that one's own race is superior, I think that's a good definition to start with. The civil rights movement in America happened, well over half a century ago. 3/4 of a century ago, maybe. Well, maybe not that far along. 60 years, anyway. And while things have definitely improved, we still have a lack of understanding about how to treat each other with respect. And our politicians, with their willing accomplices in the media and the race hustlers, they don't have to help at all, as they seem to be working together to gaslight us into thinking that nothing has changed in the past 50 years, when in fact it has changed. But according to them, these days, everybody is a racist. But of course, if everybody's a racist, then nobody is a racist. And yet, we, like kids on the playground, still don't treat people as we would like to be treated, do we? So as Christians, you and I, we need to understand how God wants us to react to racism. The Bible, you know, is the source of all knowledge for Christians. And believe it or not, it directly addresses this problem. I mean, it's hard to believe, but racism is not an American thing, even though it seems like it. But it's always existed in the world, all over the world. It's always been an issue throughout history, including biblical days. I mean, you could probably rightfully say that racism has been around for almost as long as man has walked the earth. So what is our response to the issue of race in America? Do we just ignore it? Do we do what some friends of mine did years ago? It was the late 70s or the early 80s. A family from my church moved to the States for work, which was like the promised land. Every Canadian wants to move into America to work. And I think it was Georgia where they ended up. And the move was a real career booster for this fella. But they didn't stay there very long. They moved back to Canada because, as my friend said, quote, America is just too racist for me, end quote. So they ran away from the problem. I mean, is that what we should do too? I don't mean run away to Canada or some other country. I mean, should we just withdraw into our own small circle of friends who look just like us or think just like us? Well, in our scripture reading, our Lord's choice of a Samaritan to be the hero of his story was not accidental or incidental. Now, I'll tell you right now that there was no virtue in being a Samaritan. Jesus is not in any way saying that the Samaritan people were any better than the Jews. You know, racial differences caused a lot of problems back in our Lord's day. I mean, the Jews, they hated Samaritans, who they viewed as ignorant, dirty half-breeds. But now the Samaritans, they weren't even better. They might have been worse because they hated the Jews, who they viewed as being shifty and arrogant people. So the problem of racism, as I said, can be found throughout the Bible, not just in this particular parable, but in particular in this parable. You know, God chose to work with the nation of Israel, but he made it a point to tell them that they were not at all superior to anyone else on earth simply because of their high calling. Now, I want you to take a look at this verse, which forms part of the law. It's Leviticus, well, it's two verses really, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. Now, listen to this. Do not mistreat foreigners who are living in your land. Treat them as you would an Israelite, and love them as you love yourselves. Remember that you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, before you get the wrong idea here, I know there are some open borders types. Maybe some of you are listening to the podcast today. They like to apply this verse to illegal aliens who break into our country illegally, pouring across the southern border. But that's not the situation being addressed here. Notice that Moses referred to the Israelites who were foreigners in the land of Egypt. But they were not illegals. They were invited to live in Egypt, specifically the land of Goshen, by Joseph and by the Pharaoh. So the idea here in Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, is that the people of Israel were not being told to treat invaders well, but not to mistreat anybody different than themselves who happened to be living peacefully in Canaan. Now, despite this, there were some who felt that Israel and its descendants were racially superior to those around them, like they were superior to the Samaritans or even the Romans of Jesus' day simply because they were descendants of Abraham. Their racism, this Jewish racism, was rooted in their faith. They believed that their salvation was completely secure because of their lineage. Well, John the Baptist scolded his people for holding this racist attitude. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, he said, "Don't think you can escape punishment by saying that Abraham is your ancestor. I tell you that God can take these rocks and make them descendants of Abraham." I love John the Baptist. Now, John has the Pharisees and the Sadducees in his sights, and he pinpointed the reason they didn't repent. They, like many Jews of his day, believed their ethnic identity, their physical descent from Abraham, provided their membership in God's covenant family and would protect them from condemnation on the day of judgment. Well, John the Baptist pointed out the folly of that way of thinking. From God's perspective, the people of God are marked out not by lineage, but by sincere repentance. Those who repent, John the Baptist preached, no matter what their ethnic background may be, can become true sons of Abraham. It was no big deal if you were a Jew. It was no big deal if you were a descendant of Abraham's. I mean, God can make rocks descendants of Abraham if he wanted to. Well, later on, God told Peter something else. In Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter began to speak, "I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis." You know, Peter finally realized what's always been true in the history of the world, and that is God treats everybody the same. He may have chosen Israel to be his people, but that in no way made them any better than anyone else. In fact, you could say that Israel took advantage of their high calling to continually misbehave and rebel against God, making them in some instances even worse than the pagan nations around them. But Peter, in Acts chapter 10, finally realized that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were just as much a part of God's plan as those in Israel, and that no group, Jews or Gentiles, were superior to the other. Acts 10:35, those who fear him and do what is right are acceptable to him, no matter what race they belong to. Nationality, lineage, and race never determined where the Israelites or Gentiles stood with God. I mean, just think about it. People like Ruth, Rahab, even Luke were all Gentiles who came to God and were used mightily by God. In contrast, God's chosen people of Israel suffered defeat after defeat and near annihilation because they consistently disobeyed God's word. It's clear just from skimming the Bible that God does not support the authority of any ethnic group above another. And as I said at the top of the program today, most people instinctively know that racism is just plain wrong. But as Christians, you and I, we've got to understand why it's morally wrong in God's eyes as well. Because whether you realize it or not, racism is really a sin against God. I mean, let's go back to the very beginning of it all in Luke chapter 1, verse 27. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female. So no matter what color your skin might be, you're no more worthy or deserving of dignity than any other human being because we're all made by God in his image. In addition, all believers, now I'm talking to and about Christians here, all believers, regardless of race, are one with Christ. Galatians 3:28, so there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between slaves and free people, between men and women. You are all one in union with Christ Jesus. Of course, that's talking about Christians, okay? But every human being, whether you're a Christian or not, regardless of what race you belong to, you deserve to be treated with dignity and honor because you are made by God and you are made in his image. But as Christians, our most important identity, now listen carefully to what I'm saying. Turn up your phone, turn up your computer, turn up your radio. As Christians, our most important identity is not our gender. It is not our socioeconomic status or our race. It's that we're all part of the family of God. The fact is, we continue to be more alike than we are different because as a new creation, what we are, we've all been cut from the same cloth. I mean, truly, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, the fact is, Christ came down to earth to break down the walls that exist between people. Look at this incredible verse from Ephesians 2:14. Listen to this. For Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them as enemies. I mean, we've all been made in the image of God, yes. We were all born into the same dark, bleak world. How can we not be drawn together to each other as members of God's family? When we talk about the incarnation, the reason for the incarnation, we always say, rightfully so, Jesus became flesh to save sinners from their sins, became our great high priest because he could sympathize with us in our weakness and all that. All that's true. But Ephesians 2:14 makes it very clear that Christ has brought us peace by eliminating all the racial differences between people. Now, in Ephesians 2:14, Christ himself brought his peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. I'll tell you what, racism is destroyed in Christianity. Absolutely annihilated. The solution to racism is not another government program or, you know, another issue or mandate from the state. It's Christ. It's Christianity. And here's something else for you to think about. In Genesis chapter 11, we read about the great rebellion at the Tower of Babel. God judged this rebellion. How? He separated the family of man. So God considered separating people to be a curse. So you and I should never do anything like that. And the coming of Jesus into our world was God's way of bringing the family of man back together again. The state tries to do it through laws and regulations. That only makes things worse. And being partial to this group or that group is a sin, according to James 2:1. James says, my friends, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. See, when we treat people differently, for the wrong reason, I mean, if you see somebody who physically can't do something, well, you're obviously going to treat them differently. You're going to go and help them. Okay, that's a good thing. But when you treat people differently for the wrong reason, because they appear different to us, and when we separate them from us or us from them, we're creating a mentality that is an outright rebellion to God's way of looking at his people. We are not reflecting God. And I'll tell you this, as I say, rules and regulations and mandates and laws, that's not the solution to racism. Trying to force people to get along, that's never done anybody any good. Spreading the love of God, though, spreading the love of God is one of the best arguments against racism. Matthew 22, verses 38 and 39, this is the greatest and most important commandment. That's loving your God. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. According to Jesus, this isn't according to Mike, your online Bible study buddy. This is according to Jesus. Loving others is almost as important as loving God. Real love loves as we hope to be loved. And you can't share love and find the best in people when your life is filled with prejudice and misguided convictions. But true love rejoices in finding what is best in others. Paul said love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up. And it is faith, hope, and patience never fail. It's very interesting, and you've probably noticed this as I have, to watch children interact with each other out on the playground or in the street playing, or, well, back in the days when kids used to play in the street, I guess they don't do it anymore. I used to. But when I was growing up, mom and dad made us stay outside after school till it got dark just about. But I've heard it said that nobody is born a racist, that racism is a learned behavior. That's wrong. Because kids almost always gravitate to other kids like themselves. I mean, it's natural. It may be wrong, but because possess a sinful nature, we're always drawn to the wrong behavior. And that's the bad news. The good news is that despite what racial tendencies you may have had in the past, they can be forgiven and you can change. The power of the living Christ in you will change you. The gospel tells us that when a repentant sinner becomes a Christian, he isn't just brought near to God, he is also brought near to those he once considered so different from himself. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in union with Christ Jesus, you, who used to be far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near to God. You've been brought near to others, Jews and Gentiles, people that are different. It's very interesting studying history. The first century AD was a time of was an age of suicide. Tacitus tells us about a guy who killed himself simply because he'd been born. You know, Gentiles back then, history was going nowhere. They had no Messiah. And they had no hope. Their pagan religions were proven to be useless. And that's the way it is today for all of those apart from Christ. Those who don't know Christ wrap their lives around things and they refuse to think about the ultimate reality. The world apart from Christ. Now, this is another important statement, so keep that radio turned up. The world apart from Christ is living in complete alienation. Alienation from God and alienation from people. And this, my friends, is the root of all racism. It's the basis of all the great national cleavages in Ireland, in Korea, different places in Europe and Africa, in the Middle East, and sadly in America. It's the reason why so many well-intentioned people just can't get along. But in Christ, all that alienation disappears. As God helps us to restore our relationships with people and with groups we may have mistreated. See, when we're born again, you and I, we're reconciled to God. But He also reconciles us to those who we may have hurt or who may have hurt us. Only through the divine work of God in believers are healthy relationships created and maintained. The government can create all kinds of laws and programs that force us all to get along, but forced unity is no unity at all. Only God, working in His people, can bring peace where there was once violence and kindness where there was once anger. He does this within our hearts when we accept Him and live for Him. And since we belong to Jesus, we're part of His great movement to bring more reconciliation between God and people. You know, listen, God wants all people to be reconciled to Him. That's the ministry of reconciliation. But God also wants all people to be reconciled to one another. You know why that is? Because when people are reconciled to one another, it's a whole lot easier to spread the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 20, Paul writes, "All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And as you are reconciled to God, you will be reconciled to other people. And you will lead by example. You will show people a better way to live. As His representatives on earth, you and I have a golden opportunity to share how the life-changing message of the gospel creates healthy relationships with God and healthy relationships between people, no matter who they are. Isn't Jesus something? The presence of Jesus in a person's life makes everything better. Brings people closer to God and brings people closer to other people. I'll tell you what, the cure for racism in America or anywhere in the world is not less of God, it's more of God. And it's Christians living the way they should live, showing people a better way to live. Well, here we go. It's almost 31 minutes past the hour. It's time to be about our days. That was our third teaching in being a Christian in 2024. Next week, we'll wrap up this series by talking about how to flourish amid the moral chaos that we're living in today. Because you might have noticed that we have a lot of moral chaos swirling all around us. How can you be a strong believer in the midst of all this perversion all around us? Well, tune in on Monday and you'll find out. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day today. It's going to be hot with abundant sunshine today in Southwest Virginia. I sure hope it's going to be nice where you are. Go on out, enjoy your day, enjoy the presence of God in your life, enjoy His blessings, and as God has blessed you, you turn around and bless somebody else in your life. And we'll see you again, Lord willing, on Wednesday. God bless. Thanks for listening.